We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 30th day of August 2023. And tonight we have there in the glass cage, our producer is none other than Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
There you go. And way out yonder, well, actually, tonight we have, this is Wendy Wednesday. So we have with us Miss Wendy Wilson tonight. Hey, Wendy. Are you there? Where's Wendy?
Pastor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, it was choppy there. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, choppy. Speaking of choppy, we have that legendary preacher, Pastor Joe Larson.
And, you know, I'm so valuable that when I was kicked off the show last night, you didn't even notice.
Yeah, well, it was a very interesting program we had last night.
It was. I just had to do that. You're always coming up, getting one of us with something. So, just a little chance to get back at the boss, right, Wendy?
Yeah. Even tonight, though, we're still having some telephone problems. Kyle, is there anything we can do with Joe's audio?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
A little more power.
Yeah, now I can hear you. You're much better.
Okay.
Okay, good. All right, very good. Yeah, he did a switch over there, too. All right, very good. So we have a lot to take care of tonight, so we better get right after it.
We need about a week to catch up.
Yeah, we do. It's going to be lightning rounds tonight for sure. The message, the title was, You Do Err Not Knowing the Scriptures. And boy, we really went into that heavy over there on Matthew 22:15 through 33, and also 2 Timothy 3:5-7. And tonight we're in 1 Peter 3:1-8. And so let's go over there and let's take it verse by verse here.
All right.
Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversion of the wives, by the conversation of the wives.
You're right.
Now, here's an interesting thing here, because that word conversation is not the way that we use it today. It's translated, the word is conduct. It's the same word.
For behavior. Another word would be behavior.
Right, so, and the point that he's making is, if you have a husband and a wife that are not, if the wife's saved and the husband's not, then he could be, by her behavior, it might be that it will bring him to the Lord. Now, the situation is today, do we marry people that are not, you know, if they're both not saved, will we marry them?
I don't.
No, I don't either. Okay.
But there are people that do, and, you know, pastor, it's kind of like hired gun. I'm a hired pastor. I'll marry anybody for $200, you know.
Well,
the Bible will travel type of thing, but unfortunately, that's what happens.
Well, you have other situations. I know, and I've, in my year, in 50 years, I've married a lot of people. Now, I will have sometimes when they'll come, one of the two of them will not be saved. But, I mean, you feel, look, this person, after talking to him, because I never marry people without at least three. We have to have at least three counseling sessions, because the institution of marriage is a very, very important institution. If God thinks it's important, right?
Oh, yes, and it's for a lifetime. That's pretty important. That's longer than how long you own your house, or probably longer than a lot of people spend a job or a career.
Yeah.
I'd kind of say it's right up there next to, you know, being born again.
All righty. So now, here now, but you can't always tell, because sometimes if they really want to get married, and I find that it's, in my cases, you know, the ones that I've felt that were not saved but made the profession just to pacify me were usually the women. And the way I find out about that is we discuss things in the Bible. We discuss Bible verse. We ask them, you know, how do you think, what does the Bible teach here, this and that? And some of them, you know, have, you know, they're biblically illiterate, yet they'll tell you they're saved, and they got, and so, but since you can't and I can't, it's just like when they come to you for baptism. They come and they make you ask them, why do you want to get baptized? And if they say the right things, what God's Word, the Bible says, you know, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and they place their trust in Him. Even if you feel that, you know what, I think that these people are just trying to pacify me, we can't read their hearts, can we? So we
right.
have to.
Only God knows the heart. We don't.
So we're obligated then to go by their profession, huh?
Exactly. It's funny. One of the things I get, what do you mean you want to, we have all this counseling, you know, we've got all these plans where we're busy making plans for the wedding. And I sit down and say, that's exactly what's wrong. You're going to spend months planning a wedding. How much time are you spending planning your future together, your marriage? And they look at me like, what? Planning what? Your life together, like, you know, your politics, your religion, your values, your how you handle money. Do you believe in saving? Do you believe in gambling? Do you believe in, you know, it go down the list of things, and then all of a sudden it takes them a while to realize, I think it's more important to spend more time planning your life together than the wedding that lasts one day. The marriage is supposed to last forever. That's
Alrighty.
Wrong in this country.
Okay, well, we have to go on here. While they right. behold your chaste, a conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and in the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. So here, their beauty must come from within, okay?
Right.
Who they are, not what they wear, huh?
It's the person within, it's the spirit, and if that person is born again, it's guided by the Holy Spirit, and that's one of the ways where it's talking about the hidden person, the hidden man, is, you know, also when the Holy Spirit joins with you, you got a winning team.
Wendy, you're the only one here that's got any beauty tonight, so you tell us, what do you think?
Well, I have a question, actually. Have you come across couples where they'll say, you know, I married this person, and I find that they're not the person I thought they were. How do you counsel someone like that?
Well, I can tell you, I've done a lot of that. What's happening? It's always, the Bible says for the husband to love your wife. Husband, love your wife. Wife, reverence and obedience and respect your husband. And every time that we've had, I've done counseling where there's been marriage problems, it's always the same. She always says he doesn't love me, and he always says she doesn't respect me.
Respect me, exactly.
And so God has given us the roles, the husband and the wife, the different roles, for a purpose, okay? And that goes along with our makeup and who we are. And so what happens is the husbands tend to treat the wives like when you would get a new car, you know, while it's new. You keep it all shined up, and you change the oil and so on. But after it gets a little rust on it, you don't get the door like you used to do and all of that stuff. And the wives, you know, even I noticed this, that some of these young women, they're saying, well, he's got a lot of rough edges right now. But once we're married, I get that ring on his finger, I'm going to smooth out those rough edges. And it don't work that way, does it, Wendy?
No, there's that old saying, you know, that reputation is what people know about you, but character is what God and your spouse know about you.
Absolutely, you're right. And so
my question is, you know, the real problem I see a lot of times with people in counseling is maybe one person, whether it's the man or the woman, is a narcissist. And they are very talented at manipulating even the person that's counseling them. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if you ever run into them.
I run into that all. Yeah, I sure have. Yeah. And they're usually not as slick as they think they are. Okay. They usually give themselves away. That can happen if you get so full of yourself, and not full of, as it says, that new man here. That the Bible talks about the Spirit of the Lord. But, yeah, if you have, you see, they have to be willing, okay, to deal with that, and you have to be willing to admit that that's your problem. If you don't acknowledge that you have the problem, there's no way that you can treat it, can you?
Well, nope, sure isn't.
That's the problem with a narcissist. They don't want to admit that, you know. They don't want to admit they have this problem. Usually they're controlling people.
Right. Goes back to the counseling. You ask the people in counseling, you know, how well do you know this person? And they go, you know, what do you mean? Well, you know, because I tell them, well, I love my wife not because of, but quite often in spite of some of the faults.
Yeah.
But it works both ways. She loves me in spite of my faults, not always just because of all my good points, but also loves me in spite of. We all have strengths and weaknesses. We all have things that, you know, the other person, those rough edges, everybody has them. And when the two become one, you accept those things in your partner, in your life partner, and you realize that's part of who they are. And you love them anyway. And really, that's what it is. You love them anyway, knowing that they have flaws. Nobody's going to be perfect except Jesus. So you're never going to find a perfect partner without flaws. Right?
Well, then what? Well, then just tell us, what were your flaws?
We don't have enough time. We're limited.
All right. Okay. Even as Sarah,
a couple. Yeah.
We got to go on after this manner and the. In the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husband, that word there, amazement, by the way, is the same words we use. For terror, okay?
Terror, right.
Yeah. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, there's a whole lot in this verse right here, as being heirs together of the grace of life, and your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous. That word pitiful, by the way, means to be tender-hearted is what he's referring
tender,
to.
Tender, yeah. Right. Tender.
Yeah, so forgiving. Here, let me go back to that verse. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge. You know, when we go back, see, that's, again, we're going back where the enemy always disrupts the, with the women, it's an area of discernment. Men, it's the area of pride.
Pride, right.
And I mean, now that's not in every single human being. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes, you know, there are men that have a weak spot where it comes to discernment too. But in general
but
speaking,
it's a generality.
Yeah, in general speaking, and this is where we see that starting in the Garden of Eden, where the reason Satan went after Eve, it was because he knew what her Achilles heel would be the discernment. And here we're seeing this today playing out in a huge, huge way, because today, you know what an open marriage is, right? A lot of these things, just in the past few years, there's things that are you never would have thought about before, okay? I mean, did you hear about open marriages 5 years ago?
Yeah, afraid I had, yeah.
Well,
different people, but it was not a common thing.
No, it wasn't.
Today it's a lot more common in the news, and people admit to it and stuff.
Well, it's basically even being taught in some of these colleges and some of these so-called marriage counselors are counseling that you could try an open marriage. It might be good for you, okay?
Yeah, it might be good for you. Spice up your marriage because it's dull and boring, and it shouldn't be, but...
You do err not knowing the scriptures. You do err not knowing. And so here, what they're saying is, today, a woman can have, in this day, a woman can have her cake and eat it too, where she can have a career, she can have the security of marriage and children, and at the same time have variety in her sexual life, okay, sexual partners. Now, this is what they're teaching, and even some of these so-called marriage counselors are teaching this. Now,
yeah. And okay. It's a lie because it creates dissension, mistrust, fear, all kinds of things, sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, it's right there, verse 8. Be ye all of one mind. The scripture says a man and a woman are supposed to, the two become as one. You are joined together. You become almost as one. You function as one unit, one person, two in one in a way. And God is three in one. In a marriage, the man and woman are supposed to be like-minded in their purpose and what their plans are, what their goals are.
Going back to that verse, though, Joe, going back to that verse where it says, likewise, your husbands dwell with them according to knowledge. Now,
knowledge, right.
You see,
the
point that I'm trying to make here, Joe, is this, that when it comes to this, they took a poll, and I was amazed that women want to open their marriage by 70% over the men's 30% to open a marriage. It used to be... men would want the divorce before the women. Years ago, it would be the man that would usually want to initiate the divorce. Now, women want to open their marriage 70% more than the men would 30%. Now, let me ask you this, okay? What percentage of those open marriages do you think end in divorce?
Over, I'd say most of them.
Over 90%.
Almost all of them.
Over 90% of them.
Well,
so,
let's go back to something. Way back, do you remember Helen Gurley Brown? She started the feminist movement with her book. Well, come to find out, it wasn't her idea. She didn't write most of the book. It was her husband that came up with the idea and did a lot of the writing and suggested all the things, helped her... edit the book and everything, but it was his idea. So all this stuff in feminism that they go back to her and her famous book was really the creation of her husband, of a man,
and not of the woman. So the whole premise of feminism was based on a bunch of lies, deceit, and garbage.
Well, I was listening to David Rockefeller when he was doing, he made a video, and they were talking about starting the feminist movement, the NOW starting, this goes way back in the 60s, and they were talking mm-hmm. about promoting, and it was, and all of the people there at that meeting were men talking about how to use these, to get these women. What did we read yesterday? They sneak into houses, leading captive silly women with diverse
women
lusts.
Right. With the diverse sins, diverse lusts.
Right.
The whole idea was it broadened the pool that you could have sex with women that wouldn't, complain about your being married, women that wouldn't, run to your wife, all kinds of stuff, but also with the men.
Well, yeah, but it was the purpose, these were men who were like satanic. The purpose was to destroy the family. The whole purpose was, remember, everything that God's Word, the Bible talks about, the very first divine institution God gave us was marriage and the family. So what did they do? They wanted to destroy that divine institution, the very first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've got a whole lot to get through tonight, so we're going to stop there. Kyle, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you have that clip, the one on Dr. Merle Maas, when she spells it out for the UN, and you'll have a volume situation there. So could you play this little clip for us?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, go ahead and take her away.
We're undergoing a soft coup, and the idea is to create a whole new set of laws and ignore the existing human rights laws and other laws under the pretext of pandemic preparedness and the biosecurity agenda. The WHO is developing through all its nations, but with the WHO directorate and the United States in charge, a pandemic treaty and amendments to the existing international health regulations that will remove the human rights protections currently embedded in the IHRs, will enforce surveillance censorship, get rid of freedom of speech, require governments to censor and only push a single narrative. Also, we will be subject, if they can make this work, to vaccines developed in 100 days, which the organization CEPI is planning to do. And one of the people who founded CEPI was Jeremy Farrar, who is now the chief scientist at the WHO, to bring this forward. Other things that amendments do is to bind the states so they're no longer recommendations but enforceable edicts, provide a liability shield, get rid of intellectual property rights, move supplies from one country to another, enforce digital passports, and the Director General of WHO can demand that a pandemic or a potential pandemic exists. He can just declare it with no standards, and then countries around the world will have to obey. Also, the WHO will tell you what drugs you can and can't use in your nation once a pandemic is declared. Obviously, the budget will increase. One Health is another part of this. One Health is a concept that was created to enable the WHO, with these documents, to take over jurisdiction of everything in the world by saying that climate change, animals, plants, water systems, ecosystems are all central to health. Also embedded in this concept is a peculiar notion that humans are no longer of greater value than animals.
Alrighty, there you go. This is the mindset that's coming out. Now, she was talking to the UN, okay? Now, we're going to do another clip here. And remember, that clip's going to run for about three minutes and 30 seconds. We got to stop it there. This is about what you're talking about tonight, Wendy. This is going to kind of be a lead-in for you. So go ahead and play the great.
And remember something, I'm going to interrupt a sec. Joe Biden already said he wanted Will sign on to this World Health Organization plan to be, you know, we'll submit to them. He's already said he was going to do that.
Yeah, I know. Well, guess what? We're not going to submit to him. We're not going to submit to Joe Biden.
No, we're not going to submit to him or them.
Right. Let's go to Greg Reese. And this is the second big push for the new vax, this new vax that they have, which, go ahead and take it away.
FDA and CDC, they've made an announcement on the new vaccine. So certainly they said that they will have there'll be an updated vaccine mid-September, I believe. So we know that, as you all know, vaccinations against COVID-19 remains the safest protection for avoiding hospitalization, long-term health outcomes, and death, which is why we are going to be encouraging Americans to stay up to date on their vaccines.
The criminal governments of the world are about to attack we the people again with the masks, lockdowns, and deadly vaccines, and people are already masking up. As a Weimar judge was just sentenced to 2 years in prison for trying to lift the last mask mandate, Germany is set to mandate the masks starting again this October. Corporations are announcing mask mandates. Colleges are announcing mask mandates and threatening to disenroll students if they don't get the clot shot. The CDC admits the masks are useless, and the NIH published a study saying that the N95 masks can expose people to toxic compounds linked to seizures and cancer.
The mainstream media, like CNN, has been brainwashing these people to be, like, just under, like, a spell of democratic stuff, and it's making them wear these masks that are unnecessary and making them less oxygen. And it's bad, it's so bad for the community. And we need to fight back. I know I'm a kid, and to be honest, we need to be like Power Rangers. We need to fight back. We need to fight back against evil. They are trying to make us under a spell, and we need to resist it. We need to resist masks. We need to resist all of it, okay? And we need to fight back.
The strange blood clots are still being found in the dead bodies of the vaccinated. The vaccinated appear to be shedding the spike proteins and the nanotech that we know is in these lethal cocktails. Nanotech that is growing inside the hearts and brains of the infected. The shots have made millions infertile, and we know that Pfizer aggressively campaigned for pregnant women to get the shot, even after knowing it could kill their babies. It is estimated that the shots have murdered millions, conservatively. According to the CDC's data, the more COVID-19 vaccine doses in an area, the greater the increase in mortality and death. The hordes of unchecked people being flooded into our country through the open border are not required to be given a COVID vaccination. Lucky them. But Joe Biden says a new vaccine is coming for every American, whether they've gotten it before or not. We are being given a second chance to say no.
All righty, there you go. Wendy, tell us about the new vaccine.
Say that again, Pastor. You were breaking up a little bit.
All right. Tell us about the vaccine, the new vaccine here.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, so this was a group of scientists. I've written a report. This is Griffin University in Australia. And they said they had a new breakthrough in vaccine development. And the research did get published in the August 2023 SSRN Electronic Journal. The report did state that the new method for making the vaccine is considered proof of concept stage. And all that means is it's a very early stage of development. And they really haven't, you know, nailed down proving the hypothesis that this is the right way to go with vaccine manufacturing. So this is a new concept, Pastor. And the more that I read about vaccine studies, the more I realize that a lot of these products are not only risky, but scientists have really no idea what the long-term effects are going to be. And they have not really reported how, you know, such serums are going to affect DNA and your future generations. So one of the lead scientists was Bernard Rehm and Dr. Sai-Hong Chen. They were both of Griffin Institute. They work in the drug discovery cell biopolymer factory there. And they said they have a new way of making a viral particulate vaccine. And so here's a quote from these two men. They said, the tests that we've run so far show the vaccine is safe and introduces a very strong immune system response against the virus. Now, that statement's premature because they haven't even tested this on humans yet. So
I know.
You can't even say that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In other words, they are guessing or projecting that this is what it will do, right? But that's all projection.
Right. Well, when I read stuff like this, my brain goes to, okay, what the heck's in it? You know, what's in this thing? So this new concept in this vaccine manufacturing is the scientists are using synthetic pathogens, which they reprogram. So they are taking bacterial pathogen E. coli, they re-engineer it, and they want to make a vaccine particle that has a high yield. And so what they do is this bacteria, now E. coli, normally this would multiply in the right environment and colonize. So what they do is they take this biopolymer particle of E. coli and they coat it, they wrap it on the outside with strep virus A. And they claim they're using strep virus A as an antigen. In other words, the strep A virus is a toxin that attempts to induce an immune system response for antibody production. So an antigen means toxin, and according to the research, the strep A antigen also, they say, prevents of infection. It safeguards you from infection, which I find interesting. However, numerous virology reports are showing that toxins don't prevent infection, and the immune system does not make antibodies for non-infectious agents. So, and since a new vaccine has not been tested on humans, all this is premature speculation that it's safe and effective. And here's what Pacific Immunology says. They say the immune system neutralizes infection. Now, how many times have you guys heard, this viral vaccine doesn't have any live viruses, it's attenuated. Okay, so no live viruses. What's to kill? What would the immune system be killing?
Well, it can't kill dead viruses, can it?
Right, right. So you don't get an immune system response, or do you?
No.
Okay, so also Medline said this, an antigen is any substance or toxin that causes your immune system to produce antibodies against it. So this has got to be so toxic that it's hoping your immune system will see it, but we'll get into that in a minute. So we're also told the vaccine does not require refrigeration, so it's really a good manufacturing process if you want to stockpile a vaccine.
That's good for the manufacturer, right? Good for business.
Yeah, and then I wanted to look at the high-risk yield on this thing. So the research is saying that this vaccine is going to be low-cost to manufacture and effective and safe, but they don't have any human trials to prove that. Therefore, that statement is purely for their investors and the naive public, okay? Now, we're going to take a look at the strep A virus. They're wrapping this E. coli in and see what your potential side effects could be. So a pathogen infection offers a wide range of infections. So this strep A can give you laryngitis, impetigo, which is a contagious skin infection causing sores and blisters. It could give you necrotic fasciitis, which is an aggressive skin and soft tissue infection causing necrosis or dead tissue. It could give you cellulitis, a bacterial infection of the skin causing a staph A virus. Also, toxic shock syndrome, which is life-threatening. It's a bacterial infection that increases your risk of death. So those are the risk potentials with a vaccine that has an E. coli re-engineered bacteria that's wrapped around with a strep A virus. Now, apparently, the risk from this type of pathogen when it's injected into you could also cause some serious tissue infections for a person. You know, I wonder if these human volunteers they're going to get, science is going to test this on eventually on humans, I wonder if they're going to get full disclosure. You know, because last thing anybody would want to have is their skin dying and falling off. And the skin is the organ's largest organ. And a severe tissue death of this organ could produce unforeseen circumstances like death. And, you know, to determine if their theory is right, they need to have test subjects, which, you know, they're going to be taking the ultimate risk. So here is a quote from Dr. Chin. He said, the next steps are to produce vaccines and to evaluate their performance in clinical trials. So, but they've already declared it's safe and it's going to work, but they haven't even had any clinical trials yet. So the next question I have is, why are they taking this approach? Why are they changing the way they manufacture stuff? Okay. Well, science is admitting that the current treatments do not adequately address strep A viruses. So a pathogen is highly resistant. The strep A is highly resistant to current drug treatments. And you got like 500,000 people globally that die from it. And according to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, April 2019, it revealed that viruses often mutate during the vaccine manufacturing process. And the public is told that viruses mutate on their own in just a few short months. Actually, naturally mutating viruses take much longer than that. So here's what the article from University of Wisconsin said. They said, a common problem is that the viruses chosen for vaccines often mutate in the process of production, creating mismatches between seasonal flu viruses and the vaccine in any given flu season, and this has been a particular problem. Okay,
you're
do you want to know
how
what
long
they...
has that been going on? That's been going on for years then, right?
Yeah, they got in the science, you're not supposed to know this. Science gives us these kind of vaccines a name. So what science does not explain is the viruses mutate due to the vaccine manufacturing process, and they call these leaky vaccines. Now, this is a real problem for science, stating that they are, you know, we're using these things to prevent disease with vaccines, which, in fact, are creating stronger mutated diseases in the vaccine. Healthline and the Public Library of Science Biology said this, researchers have proven the theory that more virulent viruses can evolve from so-called leaky vaccines, and there is potential risk using leaky vaccines to prevent disease, putting people at great risk of severe illness, end of quote. And then I read that, and then I turn around, and then they wanted to give us the perfect definition of a vaccine. So hold on to yourself. Here's what it is. The perfect vaccine, science says, this is their definition. This is a Dr. Andrew Reed, professor of biology, biotechnology, Penn State University. He says a perfect vaccine prevents vaccinated individuals from being sickened by the disease, and it also prevents them from transmitting or shedding the virus to others. Well, I guess COVID is not a perfect vaccine.
No, and not by a long shot.
No, I dare say viral vaccines in general are not a perfect vaccine. But they're all leaky vaccines, which means all the vaccines with viral agents in them are mutated virulent diseases making people sick. And this is really highlighting that scientific vaccine research and the medical community is really not disclosing this to the public, what the vaccine really is. It's really highlighting that disease is their main focus for the healthcare and scientific research communities, offering people an illusion of wellness. So, well, people, as we know, they don't make the drug companies any money. They don't create a demand for medical doctors, nor do they help to pay for and build and maintain major hospitals. So we're back to money answers all things.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is this, because they did the survey, and we were talking to people, finding out that if people think that it's planned, and even Klaus Schwab and these people are coming out and they find this out, that when they tell you it's planned, this is something people will accept, even the depopulation, because this was a long-range plan. It's crazy. I know it's absolute, but they've been conditioned to. They've been so dumbed down. They've been conditioned to say, well, if this is a long-range plan, then it's not so bad. Rather than, in other words, I've been planning for a long time to kill you, so I'm going to go ahead and kill you. Okay. Other than just, I just decided to kill you. Now, if they just decided, well, then that's the wrong way to go. That's insanity.
No kidding. It's like, why don't they just tell us to go, you know, read the Rosetta Stone and learn Chinese because they're coming.
Yeah.
Unreal. I mean, it is really devastating. But you know what? You know, the silver lining is the Holy Bible says herbs are here for the service of man and healing of the nations, and God can't lie. And there's natural herbs that have inhibitors to a lot of these type of things. I mean, a lot of what the diseases you've seen in the last 100 years are all man-made, pretty much. You've got Ebola, dengue, H1N1. These were all manipulated, controlled pathogen creations in the lab. They made sure these were zoonotic viruses they took from animal kingdoms, bats, camels, you name it, and they made sure with a protein switch they could infect humans. So these weren't designed for us, but they made them designed for us, if you get my drift. So these are the diseases we read in Leviticus that are not mentioned in this book.
Absolutely. You're right. That's exactly what it says, that they are not mentioned
right
here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, there, you know, gentian root has a natural inhibitor to hemorrhagic fevers like Ebola. So you've got herbs out there that are very strong against these things. You know, I don't think God wanted us to be defenseless during this time in history.
Well, no, we're not. And you know, we saw this thing when they started pushing all of these drugs on us, and especially remdesivir and that, people on our side, people like you, Wendy, and others, who we were warning people, first of all, not to take the vax, but here, to avoid the COVID, hydroxychloroquine, or the other things that we were telling people, you know, go ahead and be you know, and stock up. We used the natural herbal, the medicines, the natural things that, to avoid that. And yet so many people, and it seems like all of those that went and got the shots, you know, they were the ones that four times more likely once they got the vax to get the COVID. And if you're
right,
four times more likely to get the COVID, how many times more likely are you to die from the COVID? Well,
getting back to that point, we were talking about how the immune system makes antibodies. I mentioned this before. Dr. Anthony Norris was the chief virologist of the FDA during the 70s, and I had a conversation with him in the 90s. And he was kind of educating me on how the immune system functions. And so basically, when you come in contact with an infectious agent, a pathogen, you're either going to ingest it, breathe it in, or absorb it in through the skin. And when that happens, the body sends chemical messages about this invading disease to your immune system through the nervous system chemically. And so then your body's going to get as much information about it and then make an antibody. So, and you've heard doctors say the incubation period is 7 to 10 days. You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll take that long for the body to get the information it needs to manufacture an antibody. And when an antibody is released, this is when you start to feel awful, because there's this war now going on inside your body. Your immune system's fighting this invasion. And so that's how your immune system normally works. Now, if you inject somebody with a pathogen, an infectious agent, into your muscle, and then there's lots of blood flow in the muscle, and then what happens within 2 hours is whatever that pathogen was in the injection is now in your bloodstream in 2 hours. Now, you have patrol antibody cells, immune system cells, kind of patrolling the blood system like security guards. So when they see that infectious agent in your blood system, do they react?
Well, yeah.
No, they don't. They don't react because they didn't get any chemical signature messages to prepare for an invasion. They didn't. They didn't get the memo.
Mine react.
Well, they think it's supposed to be there.
Right.
They think it's supposed to be there. No, if you have a reaction to a vaccine, you're probably reacting to some of the other ingredients in it. Maybe it's the aluminum or the heavy metals or the preservative agents.
No, I avoid vaccines like the plague.
Yeah.
So basically,
that was Dr. Anthony Norris telling me that, and he's the one that warned everybody in 1976 when he was on Phil Donahue live show warning people the swine flu was fake. Okay, he said...
I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was immediately fired from the FDA, but he helped save thousands of lives because he said, if you get this thing, you're going to get Guillain-Barré syndrome. And counter agent, they rolled out Gerald Ford and Walter Cronkite on TV getting the shot. Remember, it's safe, blah, blah, blah. But basically, he said the swine flu serum was made for pig farmers. It was killing the pigs. The pig farmers didn't want it. So to recoup their losses, the drug companies created, with the help of the media and other agencies, this fake pandemic so they could sell it to humans.
Yeah, I know. I remember that very, very well.
Yeah. So basically, when I was having this conversation with him, I said, "Well, okay. So why are they making vaccines?" He said, "There's a million reasons why," and he was referring to money.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so even vet clinics, if you look at veterinarian clinics, they can make $500,000 to $1 million a year just on the vaccines they're pushing. And then when I asked him about booster shots, because I was trying to wrap my brain around, well, why are they giving booster shots? And he says they give booster shots because if they gave you all the serum in one shot, it's so toxic it would kill you. And I say, how do you know this? And he says, well, I have access to all the raw clinical data on all these vaccines that is stored at the FDA. Now they don't store that stuff. They don't even keep it. They destroy it, so it's not even available. So he was exposing what vaccines were designed for, and he said they're designed to seed the body with disease so that the drug companies and the medical complex have a steady line of patients, customers.
Yeah.
And he said it will react to you in a different way than somebody else, because wherever your weakest genetic area, that's what's going to happen. You're going to corrupt it in that area. So it's the perfect cover, he said, because drug companies can say, well, it couldn't have been the shot because everybody would have had that response.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, again, we've been doing everything we can, sounding the alarm about these vaccines. And I praise the good Lord we've had the opportunity to do that, because we've got a lot of feedback from a lot of people that said they would have got the shot had they not been heard about it here on this radio program.
I mean, and there's lots of statistical data that shows that a lot of these common childhood illnesses were on the downslope. They were not as prevalent even before vaccines were made public. So... you know, we got, you know, refrigeration, and we had frozen foods year-round. We didn't have horse manure in the streets, so people get tetanus and all this stuff, okay? So we had, you know, sewer systems. We had better hygiene.
Well, you know, we're going to be playing. Of course, you're going to be getting your beauty sleep we're going to be playing a clip on why so many people are dying from certain vaccines and why the others aren't on this. And it's all about they're showing you how they distribute different vaccines. They've got...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll do that. They'll test a different batch in different areas of the country. That's why you'll see like a burst of, you know, chronic disease from kids that you should have gotten.
What I'm talking about, they're purposely sending the lethal doses to red areas where you have red voters.
I get that. But, I mean, they do that a lot. They'll test different versions of a serum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then And that's why, you know, you'll see these hot spots in the news from time to time where, you know, all these kids came down with measles, and it was a more virulent strain kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I did want to say that we're having a sale, a Labor Day sale at Apothecary Herbs. It's 25% off, orders of $55 or more. Details are on our website at thepowerherbs.com, or if somebody wants to give us a call and request a catalog, they can also do that. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Great time to stock up on the cold and flu stuff, Pastor.
I know it, and it's a good time for you to send Joe and I some of that that herbal medicine that makes us look young and youthful.
Oh, my version of the Holy Grail?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Hey, if you can make my face beautiful, you'd have to be up there almost equal to the Creator.
All right, there you go. That's the truth. I better leave that go. We're coming up to a break, and then after the break we have this. But you know what, Wendy? I'm going to be preaching on the King James Bible, why the King James Bible is superior to the over 400 other English Bibles that are written in the English language Bibles today, why God did not give us 400 different Bibles, why he gave us a Bible, one Bible, and the difference.
Yeah, I've run into a lot of people that don't know the difference between that and the NIV.
Oh, there's so much you wouldn't believe. Yeah, and so how about 64,000 words to begin with that has been removed? But and the reason for that is, I'm getting so many questions from people. Why do we promote the King James Bible? But I'm not going to preach on this 100 times. You know, over the years, I've preached on this many, many times. But I got to say, I haven't done it recently. But we're going to go into real depth on it this coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And then, in fact, in both services, I'm in the morning and the evening, we're going to cover two different parts. So that's at Doers of the Word Baptist Church this coming Sunday. And so,
I look forward to getting that sermon on that you post up there.
All right, very good. Well, listen, I know I'm going
to
be
good
playing.
Good to do it on the radio part of it, because so many people out there have never heard of that.
Well, we will be doing it piece by piece all next week, Lord's willing.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah, so. And of course, I'll be doing the entire thing on Sunday night. I'll be doing the entire thing Sunday night, as we always do. So, anyhow, we're coming up to the break, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at batches designed and targeted for different groups, and it's about a 12-minute message there from a former FISA scientist who is telling you what they're really doing. And how they look, like I just told you, how they actually have some batches there. They send the lethal batches. They know where the lethal batches are. It's all a part of the depopulation, and they want to depopulate starting with conservative Republican voters. But anyhow, we're coming to the break. Wendy, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. You have a blessed evening.
You do the same. Be right back.
Bye-bye.
Don't go away.
Bye-bye.
More to come.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Fight the lie. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com, thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's go.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.